Brad Gittimer is back.
I am? Where did I go?
Well, you didn't go anywhere, but you're going back on the road.
Holy smokes, I better get my shoes.
I'm usually the one who's shoeless. Listen, Jeffrey's back on a public seminar tour. He's got new ideas, new strategies to help you take advantage of the new economy we're in, and it's gonna rock.
I'm gonna be in Des Moines, Iowa, on May 17th and May 18th, in Charlotte, North Carolina, our home, June 14th and 15th, so get yourself a ticket. Go to cgittimer.com/Des Moines and cgittimer.com/Charlotte for all the details.
And it's C, like S-E-E, C, Gittimer.
Yeah.
Hashtag Gittimer is back.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the most amazing sales podcast on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I authored the Little Red Book of Selling, and to my right,
I'm Jen Glackow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we are going to shock you today with respect to what is new, what is brand new, and what is next. Because we're going to talk today about the podcast. And many people are perplexed by the podcast. You listen to them, but you don't really know shit about them. And we're going to try to help you.
Well, you think you know about them.
Well,
but listen, we're going to give you more info than you ever.
We are so enthralled with the podcast that we have set up a network so that people can, if you have a podcast and you're looking for a place to align yourself, we have a Sell or Die network for podcasts that are good.
This is not about how to put your underwear. Accepting podcasts on an application only basis. You have to be amazing to be on the network.
How to put your underwear on is not amazing.
Well, it could be.
It depends.
But
yeah.
Probably not.
I'll give it to you straight. Label in the back. And now you're good. Jenny, what's happening in your sales world today?
I'm super stoked for the Sell or Die Live that we're doing at the end of the week in Des Moines, Iowa your public seminar.
I know, me too. We're going to be asking people questions or taking people's questions and answering them live from the audience. They'll come up on the stage. We're going to be talking to some young lady who has read the sales Bible and has been amazingly impacted by it when she was 17. And now she's grown up and in sales. And let's see how her career is going from early studying. No, you go.
Well, I was just going to say the other big thing I have going on in my life right now
is
that I, per your suggestion, just booked a rightcation.
Oh, a rightcation.
Yeah, meaning a vacation where I'm writing the entire time.
Right. And
playing tennis, just for the record, in case Tori, the tennis coach, is listening.
It happened to me literally on accident when I read the sales Bible. Someone gave me their apartment in the mountains for 2 weeks to go away and write, and I did, and it worked. And I've been doing that ever since, so I have never written a book without taking time away from the world and just concentrating on writing.
Well, our publisher needs my book, so I will be writing at the end of May for an entire week at the beach.
And if you are out there and said to yourself, boy, someday I'm going to write a book, first of all, someday is not a day of the week. And second of all, the first chapter is probably not yet written. And the reason is you're hanging around your house lamenting the fact that you haven't written anything. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
Go far away. Pick a place that's serene by water, by mountains.
Something that inspires you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something where you are willing to shut your phone off for a day or two and not be distracted by the bullshit of the day. Because the minute you get distracted, you lose your train of thought, your stream of conscious, and your momentum.
I like being available, but you're right. I think I'm going to have to turn my phone off for a couple of hours a day.
Would you say that if you want to write about your world, you have to get away from the world?
Yeah, exactly.
That's correct, Doug.
Way to go.
All right.
Wait a second. That's tweetable.
What's going on in your world, Jeffrey?
My world? I'm in the same writing groove, but I'm preparing for these upcoming public seminars. I'm redoing and revamping everything that I do in a public seminar to make this one the best mastery seminar ever for salespeople and the best leadership seminar ever for salespeople. And we're going to be doing innovative things like doing the podcast live. But while we do it, we're going to do it Facebook Live. We're going to show technology to the audience about what they could do for limited or no money and get out there to the world. So I think that's an important part of the process. And I'm working day and night to make sure that it's the right thing at the right time with the right people.
That's right. And coming up, we have an amazing interview with Jessica Rhodes, founder of Interview Connections.
She's going to talk about why she is the greatest at finding interviews for you for your podcast that are meaningful, reputable, and deep with connections.
But before we get to Jessica, we have to tell you about the Sell or Die Network. I know Jeffrey just teased it a little bit, but let's talk about it more in depth. You have a great idea. You have a great brand. You have a great business. It's time for you to start a podcast and tell the world your story.
Podcasting is not just the new black. It's the next big thing. It's what's new and what's next. And we want to help you get into this growing market of attraction, of having people listen to your podcast, realize that you've got something and you're rolling. So we've decided to join forces with the best and most powerful sales and business podcasts from around the country and bring them together with one goal: help you be successful. Maybe your podcast is cool. Maybe your podcast is not cool. We're going to decide that when you apply. But if you don't apply, you're missing out on an amazing opportunity.
That's right. And as part of that program, the network, we're also starting a Sell or Die workshop, a podcast workshop, to help sales professionals and businesses make podcasts for themselves. So you would come to Charlotte and learn how to make your own podcast. If you're interested in one of the workshops or bringing your existing podcast onto our network, email sellordie@gittimer.com. Let me just tell you that email one more time. It's sellordie@gittimer.com. Come join us on the Sell or Die Network today.
So let me just throw this at you guys. We started about a year ago with 2,000 people downloading our podcast a month. This month we'll pass 60,000, and next month it's likely we'll go to 70,000.
Downloads
per month. And it's just been exponential. People are now starting to pay us for sponsorships. We're monetizing our podcast, and so can you. And
but the real money in podcasts isn't actually the sponsorship. I'm not going to tell you where the real money is. You have to come to the course to find out.
Come to the workshop.
Oh. Our guest today is Jessica Rhodes, founder of Interview Connections, a company that pairs the best guests with the best podcasts. She founded Interview Connections in 2013 and has since grown the business to a team of 7 full-time team members in their Rhode Island office. That's pretty cool. She started podcasting in 2014 with the launch of #RockThePodcast and also co-hosts the Podcast Producers and Woman's Planning. Jessica is the acclaimed author of Interview Connections, How to Rock the Podcast from Both Sides of the Mic. And she's been a featured speaker at Podcast Movement, Podfest.us, and Dream Business Academy. In this episode, we discuss how to get yourself booked on a podcast and how to be an amazing guest that'll attract people to your product or service or your brand. Please help me welcome Jessica Rhodes. When did podcasts become mainstream?
So podcasts have been around for about 11 years, so I'm definitely not one of the grandmothers of podcasting, but...
Well, you don't look like a grandmother.
Right. You look like an aunt. Aunt Jessica, yeah. Yeah, fine.
So yeah, they've been around for about 11 years, and the popularity and the listenership of podcasts has gone up every single year. I think they've gotten more popular in certain industries, like in business and marketing podcasts. They've definitely gotten more popular within the past couple of years. But if you just look at data and stats of listenership, it's just consistently gone up over the years.
So what got you into podcasting?
So what really got me into podcasting was I started my business, my virtual assistant business, because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I was working at the nonprofit where I was going door to door. And when I got pregnant with my first child, did not want to go door to door. Shockingly, that was a job that was not going to be a good fit for me anymore.
No, but think,
as a
wait a minute. Think about you show up at the door with a little baby. Who the hell is not going to open the door and let you in?
I really had to stop canvassing once I was about 4 months pregnant.
No, I'm talking about after you have the kid.
Yeah, we went out canvassing in the evening though.
At seven or 8 months, you could go, can I come in and pee?
Oh, I ask people to pee all the time, even before I was pregnant.
Got ya.
I love it.
Well, that's a little too much information.
Oh, hey.
This is an explicit show. I thought peeing was PG.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah, it's PG-13, but it's okay.
Yeah, so I started
my
business.
Emphasis on the pee, by the way.
It was really to be a stay-at-home mom. And my dad is a business coach, and he kind of showed me the ropes of how to start a virtual assistant business and support entrepreneurs with like social media marketing management and client support stuff. And he had me book him for interviews on podcasts. And that was really what got me into it. I was pitching him as a guest to podcasters, picked up a couple other clients, were pitching them. And this was back in 2013. And there weren't a lot of people pitching guests to podcasters. I mean, now you guys probably get, or your booker, you know, gets tons of emails every week, people wanting to be on the show. And back then, I would email someone to pitch a guest and they'd be like, oh my gosh, this is great. What do you do? You know, they're just, it was like a ghost town when, as far as pitching goes. So I really saw this opportunity of booking people on shows, finding guests for podcasters, and went from having a general VA business to creating interview connections where I would really create a whole business around podcast interviews. And I mean, the rest is history. I've started multiple podcasts. I've booked thousands of podcasts through my company over the years.
Wow.
Okay. So what's the value? You're getting all these people on shows. What's the value of booking a guest? What's the value to that guest?
So the value to the guest is exposure to a new audience and the opportunity to start new relationships with people who had not heard of them before. And it's amazing what podcast interviews can do for guests that other forms of media cannot do. The relationships that guests build with the listeners and with the host is so much deeper, so much more intimate and valuable than a relationship with a blog reader, for example, because they're getting your personality. I mean, the way that you joke around. And, you know, I listened to your episode yesterday with Margo talking about nutrition, and I know all this stuff about you guys that is not about sales or business.
Hey, that's true. Right. Yeah. That's true. We got a little personal on that one.
We have a life. We have an actual life.
We
beyond.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, before I listened to your podcast, I was like, I don't know who these people are, you know, but
I would think that for the person that doesn't get a lot of exposure on media, that this would be an opportunity for them to prepare in a different way so that they're ready for their host or for the ready for the interview and they get to practice.
Exactly.
Like if you do 28 podcasts, you're going to be a hell of a lot better than you did on the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%. It's amazing speaking practice. I mean, when I did my first podcast versus, you know, today, several years later, I'm so much better at speaking. I'm better at telling my story. I know what people want to ask me about and what people aren't so interested in. So it's great market research too, because you hear the same, people will be asking the similar types of questions throughout your podcast interviews. And you think, oh, maybe that's something I should blog about or do videos about.
Yeah. But, and your microphone's better too. Look how nice it is.
It's a nice mic.
Yeah.
So it is a nice mic. I've gotten almost all my microphones for free.
Cool.
So
whoa.
There's
a mic.
Wait a minute. Who do we have to drop a name on?
So let me tell you a story. So this microphone is a Heil PR40. I got it for free because I got really lucky. I entered a contest. Like Heil was doing some contest around building their show. So I like left them a rating and review and I won. So I got this microphone.
Really?
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then Shure Microphones sponsored my other show. So I have a whole bunch of Shure microphones They sponsored by giving my host and I microphones to use when we recorded the show.
Are you sure? Are you sure when I give my presentation?
Same. We could use some in our podcast booth.
Yeah. I'll connect you guys with Shore. They're looking to sponsor shows.
That would be phenomenal. Thank you very kindly.
Okay. So
we'll expect our mics in the mail on Monday.
So I have a question for you, but I'm going to preface this with, after you answer it, I want every future guest to listen to this episode.
Okay.
It's that important.
All right.
So what should guests do to prepare before they go on a show?
Okay. Here we go. So number one, listen to the podcast that you're going to be on. And this is so important because you want to, if there's an inside joke, you want to know what that joke is.
Exactly.
If there's.
Like you want to know, we call our listeners diehards.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to know kind of the personality style of the host so you can, you know, mesh well with that communication. You guys, you know, you joke around, you give your guests some business advice and branding advice, and you got to be ready for that interaction. Mm-hmm. So just being prepared to have a good, entertaining conversation is crucial, and listening to the show is a really great way to do that. Also, sharing that you're going to be on the show is really important. Sometimes I'll talk to people that are guests on podcasts and they're like, well, I'm not really getting a lot out of it, but they're not sharing the shows. They're not really promoting the fact that they're being a guest.
Like they're waiting for their freaking success package to arrive.
Oh, yeah. Man. Like, why am I not getting much exposure? And you have to start by putting it out there. And I've had clients that, it's not even about how many people are listening to the interviews. If you're just posting that, hey, I got booked, I'm interviewing, I got booked again, people are just seeing that and they're like, wow, a lot of people want to interview her. They're not necessarily listening to every interview, but they see that you're getting booked and you appear to be a more in-demand speaker than the other people that are not sharing.
Yeah, I don't think you can expect massive results from one podcast guest, but I think if you are a guest on 10 or 15 different podcasts, and you can start to expect some kind of response, especially if you're good. Mm-hmm. And if you ask for, I assume they ask for a response, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any tips for preparing? So we were just talking about how once you go on one show, you get good at telling your story, but if you go on 15 or 20, now you start to get great. Do you have any tips for that kind of preparation?
Yeah, I recommend creating a one sheet and thinking about and preparing the suggested questions. These questions are not always going to be what hosts are going to ask you. A lot of hosts are going to come up with their own questions. But if you think about, what do I want people to ask me? Put together a one sheet that has those suggested interview topics and questions, because the first several times that you go on a show, you'll give that one sheet. And so at least you're getting practice with the questions you already wrote. So yeah, that's a good way to prepare.
I like that.
I think I would rather just give topics, and that way the guy doesn't sound canned when he's asking the question.
Yeah, but Jeffrey, you've gone on how many shows? Done how many talks?
A lot.
Right. We're talking about the person who goes on one show a year or maybe has never been on a show and is now about to get booked.
Yeah. Jessica, how many people are your first timers?
Like how many of my clients are?
Yeah. Never been on a podcast before. What the hell do I do?
Yeah. I would say probably 50-50.
Wow. Wow.
But these are also, I tend to work with entrepreneurs who are very successful, but like they're just now getting into podcasting.
Got
so they've been speakers, they're, you know, been in business a long time, but actually being on a podcast is new. So it's just kind of about tweaking the way they're speaking to a podcast. I mean, some people are very used to radio where they're giving very short answers. So I have to talk to them, okay, your answer should be a little bit longer. So they're not asking you 30 questions to fill up 30 minutes.
What about promoting? How do you recommend a guest promote their appearance so that they do, quote, get something out of it?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first question is to ask, is the interview that I'm doing on this show going to be valuable to my audience?
Mm-hmm.
So this interview is very valuable to my audience. We're talking about podcasting and preparing and being a guest. So I'm sharing the heck out of this episode because it's on a show that probably a lot of my target audience is listening to. Mm-hmm. So sharing this widely to my social media, when it goes live, I'll share it with my email list, just getting it out to your whole community. Some people, like my client Jen Briney, hosts a podcast called Congressional Dish. She's talking about Congress. And sometimes she'll go on a podcast talking about podcasting. And for her, her audience, people that listen to her show about Congress, they don't really care about podcasting. So she might not share those shows with her audience. So I think that you know, both as a host, as a guest, as an entrepreneur, you want to be sharing content that is valuable to the people that are following you. So, yeah.
I'm going to give you a title for her podcast that will never get broadcast.
Okay.
For Congress. How to get things done.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, I am starving. I need meat for dinner. Where do you want to go?
Any place they serve a Strasburger steak, Jen.
Strasburger Steaks has delivered quality steaks for over 150 years. The Strasburger family wants everyone to enjoy the best of American meat, which is why we're excited to give you the opportunity to bring the steakhouse to your house. Prime meat is the highest grade of meat available, meaning it has the most marbling flavor and juiciness possible. Only about 3% of meat is prime, so you know you're getting the best hand-picked and hand-cut meat for the best eating experience.
I can tell you from personal experience that Strasburger steaks are amazing. Mouth-watering, delicious. Diehards, do you want a flavorful prime New York strip steak without having to go to New York? Well, how about something that's like a bone-in or a rib steak? Come on, you can get anything you want at Strasburger, and once you've tried their steaks, there's no going back.
Are you having trouble finding a gift for someone that has it all? Why not give the gift of amazing Strasburger steaks? Weddings, anniversaries, graduations, your favorite client. How about celebrating making a sale?
Sales red meat.
Getting a Strasburger steak is a celebration.
You know, they serve the best steakhouses in New York City and around the country, and now you can have them right in your own home. Visit StrasburgerSteaks.com right now or call them 201-842-8890. Call them right now. Come on, 201-842-8890 and celebrate with steak.
So, Jessica, you book people on shows.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wasn't working with you and now all of a sudden they hear the show, they get inspired, they want to start going on podcasts, what's the best way? And you don't have to give away all your secrets, but what's the best way to
get on a podcast,
podcasters to get on their shows?
It all comes down to a well-written, personalized pitch, you know? So I think the first thing, if it's a bigger show, it's valuable to be connecting with the hosts. And, you know, if they've got, some of the shows have teams with booking agents and things like that, find out who they are and get connected with them, kind of build that relationship first, because a pitch that comes from somebody that you are familiar with or that you know is going to be more well received than a pitch that comes from someone you've never heard of.
Yeah, I agreed with that. But for example, I'm pretty well known, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gary Vee is pretty well known, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know that we know each other.
Right.
There's world that you don't know in sales and marketing?
Well, I don't know him personally.
Wow. Right. Okay, guys, diehards.
Jessica,
if you know Gary Vee, connect him with Jeffrey.
Or Jessica, if you know Gary Vee.
I saw him speak and I met him, but he would not know who I am, most likely. I don't know. Maybe he would. We know some of the same people.
Did he swear at you?
No, he was very nice. Well, see, I was really prepared for that.
Yeah. That means he didn't like you.
He
swears at you if he likes you.
Yeah, but I mean, connecting with the people beforehand, because someone's much more likely to have you on their show if they know you and if they feel like you've given value to
them. Or they feel you can be
first.
A value to their audience. I mean, it's... Yeah. Obviously, there's selfishness involved in the podcast process. You're not going to just benevolently give everybody a guest shot on your show unless you feel that you can affect the audience and maybe make the audience grow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, doing things like rating and reviewing and retweeting their posts and sharing their stuff on Facebook, just getting on their radar. And this isn't necessarily something you have to do every time you pitch a podcaster, but these are all things that will make it much more likely that you'll get on their show. And number two, just listening to their podcast and really making sure that you are a good fit, because there are podcasts that people want to be on and they're just not a good fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
let me explain something though. In just truth to our audience, we had a phone conversation with Jessica before this podcast started and realized that A, we had chemistry, and B, that Jessica was actually likable.
And smart.
And so we said, hey, come on our podcast. She goes, whoa, cool. And that initial phone call created the chemistry for this podcast. And I'm sure that you talk to your people about talking to the host before the show rather than just say, who the hell are you?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that you said that, because a lot of people just, they hate pre-calls, or like they're a waste of time. They're a burden.
Oh, bullshit.
And
what?
You know what? I'm sorry, but you get out of podcasting what you put into it.
Oh, well, we had no idea though. We didn't call you or connect with you with the idea, hey, come on our podcast. We just wanted to make friends with you.
That's true.
But wait. So you have clients or guests or whatever who don't want to do a pre-call with the host?
Oh, this happens all the time. Just with my clients, but I'm in the podcasting community. I go to podcasting conferences and people talk about it all the time. They think pre-calls are a waste of time. They do take extra time. But like I said, you get out of podcasting what you put into it. It is all about the individual relationships.
These people are freaking morons.
Imagine if you could have a pre-call, quote unquote, with your sales prospect, 15 minutes to prep with them.
Hang on a second. Let me share with you what I did when I first started in speaking. People would call me and I would set an appointment with them to have a deep conversation with their leadership team. And I said, before we do that, would you mind faxing me over or emailing me over the top 10 things you're hoping to accomplish in this event? They would send me what it took to sell them. Literally, they would send me their agenda for,
that's too funny.
Okay, but that's not funny. It actually worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I never had a list where I didn't make a sale, ever, ever.
I love that.
So you're looking at a person that doesn't want to make a pre-call. And I'm a person who's given 2,500 speeches over the past 20 years. I've never done a speech without a pre-call.
Yeah.
I always meet with sometimes them two first. Or three.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And it's not that you have to do a pre-call with every single guest. If you're doing multiple interviews a week or a month, it might not be necessary. But just think about what you could get out of that. I mean, I've done pre-calls where we just talk about, okay, who's your audience? What kind of value are they looking for? And you just build chemistry that is going to make this show better for your audience and really better for both of you.
We talked about Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean,
we created a common kind of, we understood each other and there was enough chemistry there to actually do a conversation where it wasn't awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like you're from Boston and we're rooting for the Patriots.
Exactly. Ew.
Exactly. So
I thought we were going to have one episode
where we didn't talk about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Eagles mentioned.
41-33? No. Well, there's no sense.
We're on the streak still.
Yeah. Streak is alive. Doug, could you give us a thumbs up on that one?
Doug stepped away for a second.
Okay.
I think it's because we started talking about football.
But here's the deal. You have to, even if it's only a 5-minute call or a 10-minute call, you need to be able to talk to that host to find out where the chemistry is.
Now, if the host doesn't want to do the call, that's one thing. But if the host is offering to spend the time
you're
with
a moron,
you as a guest, man.
Yeah.
You got to be nuts not to take that.
Because the host will then promote it more. The host will, what you're expecting from that podcast will only occur if you give it your own oompa.
What are some of the other silly, crazy kind of things that you see happening?
Tell us about other idiots.
These are idiots. What are they thinking?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that I think is really, so instead of doing a pre-call, a lot of people will require pretty long forms. They want you to answer a lot of questions in writing. I don't like a lot of black and white rules, but I mean, in my opinion, if you're going to have someone on a podcast,
it's way better to do a call than it is to do a form.
Exactly. And it's, I think that if you want to get this preliminary information from me before we record an interview, call me on the phone. Let me tell you in 5 minutes rather than because it'll take me so much longer for me to write it out. And it's annoying to me as a guest. It's not that I don't want to invest in the relationship, but for me, writing all my answers of like, what's my favorite book and what was my biggest failure? Like that kind of stuff.
They make
you write out
the questions, the answers to the questions they're going to
ask.
Oh
yeah.
What?
There are podcasters that do this.
Oh, man. Well, for the record,
horrible.
We do not do that. We request information.
We don't ask
like
anything.
Your headshot and your social media links. And we want you to connect with us.
We want to figure out how to promote
that's
you.
That's so that we can promote the show afterwards.
I really like your process. And
thanks.
I had a prospective sales call last week with somebody and I was telling them about it. I said, listen, I was booked on Sell or Die. And I really like the way that they coordinated my interview. It was two very simple PDFs. It gave me instructions of what to do. It was all very reasonable and was helping set me up for success.
Doggone it.
Cool.
So we did a good job to a professional.
You did a good job.
Thanks.
That's pretty exciting.
And like you're like the pro. You're like the podcast queen.
it was very easy. And so when I emailed back your booker, I'm like, okay, I was like, number one, here's this. Number two, here's this. Like, it made it very easy for me.
Can you keep a secret?
Awesome. Yeah.
The booker is my daughter.
Oh, that's so cool.
We're very high nepotism. Man.
Well, I used to work for my dad, so I get it.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you have all these people that are they're guests on your shows, and they're promoting the show properly. What are the errors that people make when they're on the show and interviewing? What does a guest do wrong?
So this is going to make it very hard for people, but they're either not talking enough or they're talking way too much. There's
a sounds like the three bears.
Wait. Listen to yourself and figure out which boat you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you've got to find a happy medium and have the ability to listen. So when you're having that conversation, you want to give long enough answers so you're giving value and the hosts don't feel like they're just pulling teeth and they've, oh God, I need another question because she only took talk for 2 seconds. But there also has to be strategic pauses where you allow for a back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're not like talking over each other or you're not letting the other person talk. So it's just about being able to listen and being a good conversationalist.
So instead of asking a question, you can just say, tell me about.
Yeah.
And that way it elicits a, that's a good one.
So a lot of people think that they shouldn't go on shows because the only shows that are going to get them a return are the, you know, shows with hundreds of thousands of downloads a month, because that's where the high listeners are. And that's the only thing that's going to get them value or maybe even a sale. What would you say to them?
I would say you are wrong.
You're an idiot.
We sure have a lot of idiots on this show so far.
Well, it's also that, you know, podcasting is a relatively new way that people are marketing and getting exposure and building their business. So they are thinking in an old fashioned way of getting media exposure. They're thinking, I need the biggest audience, when in reality, you want the biggest return on investment. I have one client, Tanya Connor Green. She is a business coach. I've booked her on, she's only been a client for like 2 or 3 months. She's been on like 4 shows maybe, and most of them have not even gone live. And she has brought in over $18,000 in sales from a client, from a speaking gig, from a training opportunity that she got from connecting with the hosts who interviewed her. I don't know how big those audiences were, but I know they were not in the tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands. Wow. So instead of thinking, I need just to be in front of the biggest audience, think about how to connect with the host and like, what is an average client worth to you? Because if an average client is only worth $10, then yeah, you're going to need a lot of people to make that. But if an average client is worth to you $20,000 a year, you know, if they're coaching with you every month or something like that, you just need the right amount of people who are an ideal fit for you.
So it's targeted and quality over quantity.
Yeah.
I would call it a strategic audience.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so do people, when they decide to become your client, they say, look, I've researched these 10 podcasts that I really want to be on. Here's the list.
Some of our clients have a wish list. Yes. And some of those wish lists are good. Some of them, like half of them, don't have guests. And we're like, okay, well, this is a great show, but they don't have a guest. They don't have guests on their show. So we're not going to pitch you to this show. But some people have wish lists. Some people say, these are the kinds of shows I want to be on. And then, you know, we find them shows that we think are a good fit for
them. I'm sure you know a bunch of shows.
Oh, yeah. We know tons.
Yeah. And are the guests, are the hosts accessible, or do they have people that block them?
I mean, it depends. Every show is different. We've been booking so long that we have gotten through a lot of those gates. So if somebody's starting from scratch right now, pitching podcasters, there's a lot of contacts that we have that we've gotten over the years. Like, you know, Bigger Pockets is an example of a real estate show that has typically been really hard for people to get on. But because we go to, you know, FinCon and other marketing conferences where their booker is walking around, we've built a relationship with her and we've got this direct line of access to somebody that you can't find her email address necessarily on the website.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Our email address is out there.
I know. It so frustrates me when I go to a website to try to make a connection with somebody and you can't find their phone number.
It's ridiculous.
I'm a phone person too. I like to pick up the phone.
Please fill out this form. Seriously?
Contact forms fail.
Yeah.
I know. They're total fail. Okay. So I want to get off the topic of podcasts.
Yeah, let's get off of this.
And talk about sales. Because
sounds good.
When I called you originally, it was because I wanted to hire you to help me get on podcasts. I'll be open about that. And we started going down this road of, you know, the sales process kind of conversation. And I was really impressed with your process. I actually started to think, who trained her? And it was really good. So one of the objections I had was, wow, this sounds great, but your price is too high. What can we do? Mm-hmm. And you shot back with, do you want to say your response?
Tough shit.
Oh my God. I'm trying to remember what my response exactly was. Well, I remember that conversation.
I can give you a couple if you'd like.
Well, I asked prices if there was something you could do to lower your price. And you said, we can't lower the price.
Yeah.
But we can provide more. Right.
Right.
And
yeah.
So.
Way to go.
I freaking love that. Like anyone else in that conversation, I think would have said, well, how much do you need me to lower it? What are you thinking? You know, what were you hoping for?
Yeah. And how low do you want me to drop my microphone to get this deal?
I don't like discounting my prices because, you know, as Jeffrey, you're just saying, like the prices are, they're fair for the value, they're firm, but I will add value. You know, I will do bonus bookings, things like that. And we talked about, you know, I was asking you questions like, how many interviews are you looking for this year or in the next 3 months? You know, because we have like bulk package options. If you pay up front for a whole bunch, the price goes down per booking, or you can do monthly. So I tried to ask you like what your needs were so then we could provide the price and the package that was going to be best for your needs.
I mean, you were saying at the beginning before we even started talking that you hate rejection. So was that tough knowing that I might reject you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, rejection, I think it's probably a common fear, but I've discovered that rejection is hard for me, but it doesn't mean I don't face it. So I still face it. It's so funny because you were complimenting me on how well I handled that. Well, in my head, I was probably like,
right. But you can't see the
I didn't feel that over the phone. Right, I felt your confidence actually. Yeah.
It wasn't a FaceTime call.
No.
So you're in good shape.
But I'm lucky most of my sales calls are not on video.
But the reality is people will object to price a lot. But I think that the bottom line is you're paying for something, and this I don't know if you pitched this or not as part of your presentation, but when that interview is over, you get to keep the interview. It's recorded and you get to put it on your own YouTube channel or your own learning channel or your own Facebook channel. And keep that there as a permanent way for you to communicate your value.
Yeah, it's evergreen content. I mean, that MP3 is going to be online for as long as that podcast host is willing to pay the $5 a month to the media host. I mean, it's there for you.
Right. What about putting it up on LinkedIn or putting it up on your own Facebook page?
Oh, yeah. Yes to all of that. I mean, you want to share it wherever you have people following you that are going to get value from it.
So if you do the right interview and it's not too self-aggrandizing, but rather it has some value to it, then you need to be on a podcast in order to be able to prove that you're the authority that you say you are. When someone else is interviewing you, first of all, I think it proves that there's a reason to interview you. Mm-hmm. You're smart enough to be interviewed. And then people listen to podcasts. I'm blown away by who.
I'm totally blown away by it.
How many people listen all the time? Doug, you listen to podcasts.
What podcasts are you involved in?
So Rock the Podcast is our company podcast. It's the show where we do every week talking about podcasting. We typically interview our clients on this show, or I'll do episodes, you know, with my business partner or with my booking agents. And we'll just be talking about all things that are going to be valuable to our audience, to our clients, booking interviews, preparing for interviews, getting an ROI with interviews. So it's very specific to podcasting and podcast interviews. And I've been doing that since 2014, and it's evolved. I kind of started more general business and marketing, and now it's really niched into podcasting. And then the other show that I do with Margie, my business partner, is called Women Splaining. And that is
Say
a show that
again.
Really started.
Women what?
I'm sorry?
Women what?
Women Splaining, like mansplaining, but Women Splaining.
Got it.
Yeah. So that is a show that we started in the fall, really as a passion project, but it's been growing and we've just gotten such a great response. We're really building that show up. We talk about personal development, mental illness, really just kind of things that people deal with in life that are kind of taboo, that aren't talked about a lot. So we bring light to some more vulnerable subject matters. And The Podcast Producers is a show that is about the art and business of podcasting that I do with Corey Coates, who's the co-founder of Podfly. And that's a once a year show. We do one really highly produced season a year.
Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star on Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends, just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter, at Gittimer, and Jen, at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off.